Facebook.
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 Facebook. It's like jail. You do your time writing on walls, getting poked by people you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. I like it.
This is
Radio.
I'm former Vice President Joe Biden. The Philip D. Blackman Show is going to kick me in the nuts tonight because I suck as a president. Enjoy the show as I try to remember who shit in my pants.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
Listen up. The views and opinions of this radio show and podcast are prepared and provided by Philip D. Blackman in his personal capacity. The opinions expressed in this show are my own, and they do not reflect the view of this radio station, broadcasting platform, or any organization Philip D. Blackman is a member of. The material and information presented in this broadcast is for general information purposes only. Any and all media presented are the property of their respective owners, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Let's get started. Do you feel it? It's coming. It's time.
It's time.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I am your host, the one, the only, half man, half amazing. God broke the mold when he built me, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Philip Blackman, and you are tuned in to the fastest hour in radio. I'm your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome, friends. This week, man, as with every week, politicians, they're showing us exactly just how out of touch they are with the American people. Joe Biden visited the southern border for the first time in his presidency after over 2 years in office. And sadly, his sanitized visit is not going to bear any fruit at all for the United States or its citizens, but it really looks promising if you're an illegal immigrant. I mean, in the latest panic, Democrats are now taking, they're now taking on gas stoves. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you cook with gas, you could be in some danger, according to the next big threat to this country. Not the illegal immigrants, not the fentanyl overdose, not the inflation, not the transportation issue like this morning when the FAA shut down, but gas stoves, ladies and gentlemen. That is where we are right now. It's a new existential threat. And lastly, man, I want to wrap up this show in one final thing. I'm going to be talking about how covering politics, yo, for this show and shows like mine, it is an exhausting profession. Quite frankly, I'm tired of both sides because they suck equally. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are live right now all over social media. We're live on Facebook. We're live on YouTube, TikTok, Twitter. Jesus Christ, everywhere. Just type in the Philip D. Blackman Show, and you can find us pretty much anywhere on any social media platform. We haven't really dove off into Rumble and whatever that shit that Trump is. But, hey, we are live on, we're on LinkedIn. We're on Twitter, the PDB Show. And, of course, we have our affiliates, Outlaw Radio, AOW Radio, IPM Nation. And, of course, About Face Radio has certainly picked up our show. Guys, we are so excited to open up this new chapter in our life as we start this new year off, trying to really point out some of the shenanigans, I guess, that we've been seeing. So, look, if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show in any way, Social media are your great option, so I can share your comment into the chat, something like what Mad Hatter says. And Mad Hatter says, it's been a while. Life changes. Absolutely. So, guys, 409-245-9753 is the number to the show, or you can call or text the number on my screen, 409-245-9753. Hell, guys, you could even write into the chat and social media, and we'll do everything we can to bring you up to speed and let you join our show, guys. Thank you so much for my listeners across the nation, around the globe. Thank you so much for tuning in to episode number 315. Man, politics are exhausting, and that's the point. That's what we're calling this show tonight, guys. Now we're talking about Biden, border, the gas stoves, and you know what? F the Republicans, right? So, guys, this is 315. Here we go. Let's get it started. Frank Graybars, man, it is. He says this is the first time catching the show in a long while. Hello, everyone, to each and every one of you guys. Thank you. So, if you've been following the news, man, it has been interesting to say the least. All right, so let's talk about the big turd in the punch bowl, right? Let's talk about what's really happening with our government, with what's going on with our immigration, with what's going on. Man, really, just what in the world is going on with this administration? Why are we doing the things that we're doing and really not bearing any fruit whatsoever? I mean, President Joe Biden, he visited El Paso. Finally, he visited El Paso, Texas. I said it a couple weeks ago that if he's going to visit anywhere, it's going to be El Paso, and it's not going to be the fruitful endeavor that he wants it to be. So that's exactly what happened Sunday. His whole purpose was to go over there and to introduce or address these new immigration problems amid this historic increase of migrants that have been entering our United States. Contrary to what they'll tell you, there it is. Hey, that's the point right there. Why wouldn't he? He's right next to Bliss. Of course, he can land on Bliss. He's surrounded by the military. He's surrounded by everyone. He's absolutely safe. It's a hell of an idea to go to the safest place on the border, if you're going to be the president. But he didn't really see the border. If you've ever been in the military, guys, if you've ever, I don't know how it is in corporate America, but if you ever have those situations where you have a boss or you have a CEO that happens to come into the building, man, they tell you to square that building away. No trash. Everything needs to be squared off. Everything needs to look perfect, like the make-believe office. Well, this is the way it should be, but it never is. So Joe Biden, unfortunately, he went to El Paso to see the border that nobody really showed him, because the problems that are happening in El Paso are not. He didn't get a good snapshot of it. And quite frankly, neither party is happy about it. And hey, I'm fine with that, because both parties need to unite around something. And if it's the shitty job this president is doing, then why not? The Democratic Party, they call this plan, Joe Biden's plan, for the southern border, they call it a humanitarian disgrace. And of course, Republicans on the other side, they express anger because it's the first time that Biden has visited the border. Claiming that borders are wide open, that's the Republican stance, that the borders are wide open. Well, if you're in Texas, if you're in Arizona, if you're in California, parts of New Mexico, you probably argue that the borders are wide open too, because I've seen the borders. A lot of us have seen the borders, and we know just how ugly it is. But if you're someone who's looking for statistics, okay, well, here it is. So from October of 21 to October of 22, that is 1 year. That is the fiscal year of our government. The Border Patrol, the United States Border Patrol, they reported 1.7 million people that attempted to cross our border. 1.7 million, and the border isn't wide open. That's higher than any year since 1960. And yet, for some reason, they'll tell you, Alejandro Mayorkas will tell you, the border is secure. Now, this visit, if you've noticed anything about it, it's funny because me and Tammy were talking this morning. She said, have you heard anything about Biden visiting the border? I'm like, well, quite frankly, no. Usually there's a little bit of a hullabaloo in there that anytime something like this happens, because it was so monumental. But no reporting really came out of it. That visit wasn't fruitful at all. I mean, he never delivered an address. He never made remarks. He never, and truly, he spent most of his visit consulting Border Patrol personnel. And you think, well, that's what a leader needs to do. Do you really think, in any realm of any imagination, that the Border Patrol agents that Joe Biden spoke to gave him a true snapshot. Maybe, maybe not. But after sanitizing, after cleaning up the city of El Paso so Biden wouldn't have to see some things, that's questionable. But if you ever worked in any type of law enforcement, any type of military career where you see where we have big wigs, big people coming in, what happens? We GI the area. We only tell them, yes, Mr. President, no, Mr. President. We tell them everything is wonderful. I had great sex this morning. My uniform is pressed. Everything is great, Mr. President. Don't know why you're here, but, you know, hey, thanks for coming. I'm thinking that's probably what it boiled down to, because it's these bureaucrats, these leaders are really just bureaucrats. These are ass kissers for this president, for any administration, because they're hoping that if they kiss just enough butt cheek that maybe they'll get a promotion. So let's be honest. These Border Patrol personnel that he talked to, most likely they were only senior leadership, but he didn't find anything out. Now, he did, let's be fair, he did go to a migrant center there in El Paso, but the reporters said that when he went, it just happened to be for the first time since he's took office, it was the very first time that there were zero migrant people at the migrant center in El Paso. There were zero people there at the time of the visit. Now, remember, the reason why this is so ridiculous, we have 14,000 at a minimum. That's on the low ball end. 14,000 a day coming in. 14,000. And there just happened to be no one at one of the busiest ports of entry into our United States. You know, Biden's proposed plan, and you know, the whole thing is about Title 42 limitations and allowing 30,000 asylum seekers from other countries. I talked about it Monday or Friday. I talked to one of these recent shows, Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Haiti. They're talking about allowing 30,000 of them a month to come in across the border to apply for citizenship through a telephone app. 30,000 a month. And yet we have 14,000 a day. But sadly, President Biden, he squandered and he's destroyed the most secure border that he could have possibly inherited from the previous administration. But yet they won't tell you that. Matter of fact, circle back Psaki and Karine Jean-Pierre and everybody, Alejandro Mayorkas, they'll all tell you, well, the Biden administration inherited an open border. They inherited a border crisis. Well, you know, every president has, let's be honest, every president has inherited a crisis. But to say that what we're experiencing in our southern border right now is because this previous administration, after 2 years of going by, ladies and gentlemen, that excuse checked out a long time ago. Because let's be honest, in 100 days in office, Joe Biden took more than 94, that is a 9 and a 4 together, 94 executive actions on immigration. He halted construction immediately on the border wall. That was the big one. But the thing is that I think that no one really seems to understand in this administration is this, that actions, they do have consequences just as inactions. Just look at the numbers. 3.5 million illegal immigrants have crossed our border since Joe Biden took office. But the border is secure, Alejandro Mayorkas is going to tell you. November of 2022 was the worst November in the Department of Homeland Security's history. Over 233 illegal immigrants apprehended crossing the border in 1 month of November of 2022. But we have a secure border. The border is not open. You know, a staggering 650 million lethal doses of fentanyl. They were seized at our southern border in November alone. In November alone, in 1 month, 30 days, 650 million lethal doses of fentanyl have been seized at our southern border. So the rub is, if a lot of fentanyl is getting seized, that means a lot of fentanyl is coming in. Yeah, 650 million lethal doses, yeah, that is a great number to hang your hat on to say, hey, look, we're doing something. But the reality is there's more. The 650 is a wash. They expect a small percentage of their fentanyl to get captured to these southern borders. So it's not really a big loss for them. But them, I'm talking about the cartels. I'm talking about the Chinese where this fentanyl is being made. These evil drug cartels, they're profiting off of Joe Biden's border crisis. You know, these coyotes, and no, I'm not talking about the, I remember when Donald Trump talked about the coyotes, remember we had the liberal losers out there saying, do you mean there's actually dogs that are carrying Hispanic people across the border? No, that's not what a coyote is. If you don't know what we're talking about as far as coyotes go in immigration, drink water and don't say anything because, man, you're making an ass of yourself. But these smugglers and these other criminals, they're making an estimated $13 billion each year off of human trafficking. We got bodies, we got fentanyl, we got human trafficking. They're everywhere. All right, so I want to hit to some of these comments here. Because we are, you know, I'm kind of getting myself a little spun up and I need to slow down just a little bit. Tammy says in the chat that he finally makes the visit, but we still haven't heard anything about what they plan to do about it. It pisses me off. Absolutely. And Laura says that it was a token visit. And of course they cleared it out before he got there. Tammy says there were zero people there by design. Rob Williams says he loves my shirt. That's right. We are the Randy Watson World Tour 1988. We're rocking our old school. Mad Hatter says that they won't cover it while Sinola are getting off either. Mad Hatter, I'd like for you to, if you would, man, expound on that a little bit because I don't really understand your comment, and I really want to. Rob Williams says in the chat that should we take the opposite approach and set up Texas as our new Ellis Island? You know, you know, Rob, that's actually pretty unique. I mean, I never really thought about it, but it certainly should be. But then again, with Ellis Island, we had one port of entry where they all came in, and they were all processed through one spot. You're talking, well, I think our southern border is either 1,400 or 1,900 miles long. So yeah, Texas could be our new Ellis Island, but the operations would be very difficult to compare. Tammy says the border states are suffering, so the Biden administration can say that they have erased Trump's policies. That's just the facts, and she's absolutely right. Rob Williams goes on to write, the immigration process is an absolute abortion. Well, Rob, if you're paying attention to the leftists, abortion is a good thing, so way to promote the leftist policies. Zach Clark says, just chiming in now, looking forward to the show, brother. Hey, buddy, thank you as always. Tammy's talking about sexual chocolate, referring to the shirt, and you know we are what we are. You know, everything that you've read about the border is true. I mean, it's unguarded. It's chaotic. Thousands of illegal immigrants, as of right now, millions of deadly fentanyl overdose, or millions of deadly fentanyl doses, I should say, they make it across on a weekly basis. Mad Hatter goes on to write, he says, the cartel war that's happening after the capture of El Chapo's son. Thank you. My mind is everybody, but you're absolutely right. Why are they not covering the capture of El Chapo's son? I thought they would. I thought they would use the crap that was going on between the Mexican army, the Mexican police, and the cartels, that war. I figured that would probably be a reason why Biden wouldn't go. That was my prediction, that he wouldn't go because of the danger. And I was wrong on that one, absolutely. But you're right, Mad Hatter. Why are they not covering it? You know, we have our border communities right now. They're being overrun. You know, they're lawless. All this lawlessness that is spreading from the south on up, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, we get the worst of it. But we also got to remember one simple fact, that when you have an open border, every single state has a border crisis, contrary to what they'll tell you. And if you don't believe that they have a border crisis, look at their reaction when these migrants are getting dropped off in buses at their residence. Martha's Vineyard, the richest place in America, they had a busload of migrants. I think it was, 30? And they demanded federal aid because there's no way the richest people in the most centrally located place in the United States, they couldn't manage to take care of 30. So every border is a border state. And if you want to look further besides just the migrants, that's evidenced by fentanyl. Fentanyl is now the leading cause of death among Americans aged 18 to 45. It doesn't discriminate based off race, religion, creed, politics, or anything. It's across the board. Everyone is affected. And that statistic, it doesn't stop in one community or one state. It is a nationwide issue. It's a national problem. Young people are dying in droves from coast to coast because this failed president refuses to take border security seriously. Even our border czar, Kamala Cackling Harris, isn't taking it seriously. I'm still waiting to find out, what did she discover when she went down south to visit with the Mexican president, a year ago, to determine the root cause of immigration? What has happened? Where is that report? Why have we not seen anything done on it? All this stuff is just smoke and mirrors. It's shameful. It's dishonest for Joe Biden and his administration to pretend that this is not a raging crisis. It's shameful. It's dishonest for our mainstream media on both sides of the aisle, left and right media. They're not talking about this as a crisis. I doubt that parents, truly, I doubt that parents who've lost children to this out of control wave of drugs, I seriously doubt that they're comforted by Joe Biden saying that there are more important things than the deadly situation at the border. Do y'all remember that? When he said he has more important things to do? Yeah, he does. He has more important things, like, I don't know, again, going to talk to Drew Barrymore on her show, I'm guessing. But prioritizing our border security, man, you know, the cracking down on the cartels, supporting both our Border Patrol agents and our police to stem the tide of deadly drugs into our country, that is the only thing that's going to slow down this border crisis. I have seen our border crisis firsthand, and a lot of people who've made it to Fort Bliss most certainly have too. It's a product of these wrong-headed Democratic policies. It's completely unacceptable. And I want to get into to a different take on our southern border in this opening segment that I love more than any of it, the breakdown. You know, I see some comments here that I really, really want to hit, and these are so important because this brings up a great conversation. First, Tammy says, or Laura Harlow says in the chat, yeah, I've been hearing about that. Why isn't it being covered? Tammy's talking to Mad Hatter when she says there were 16 dead cartel members and 10 Mexican law enforcement when they caught him, El Chapo's son. It is mind-blowing. Mad Hatter goes on to write, he says, yeah, they are openly fighting the government in the streets. It's now a power struggle of who's going to take over the cartels now, and this affects the border for sure because people will flee for safety. Laura says, damn, I'm praying for those people. Tammy says, what makes that drug so scary, she's talking about fentanyl, for me, is the fact that it has the ability to overdose you simply by absorbing through your skin, and it happens super fast. So here's the rub, right? So, yeah, I want to talk to Mad Hatter's point here because it's a great point. He says that they're openly fighting the government in the streets. You know, we're sending billions and billions of dollars over to Ukraine to secure their border, way the shit over there that has zero strategic, zero benefit for this country at all. We're sending an unbelievable amount of money to these different countries to help them shore up their borders. You know, because it's a war and there's innocent people, right? This whole garbage, we have to give money to Ukraine so the citizens can be safe, so they can secure their borders, so they can end this horrible war that's going on in Russia right now, or in Ukraine with Russia. Okay. Well, if we have a cartel that's openly fighting the Mexican government in our street or in their streets, why are we not doing something, you know, maybe sending money there to help them? Maybe why not, you know, see if the Mexican president might want some military assistance to help. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that we go into another war, that we step into another war. Not at all. But the question does present itself. If they're openly fighting the government in the streets, and these people are now creating a border crisis for us at our southern border, like in his next comment, then why are we not doing more to support the Mexican government? Why are we not doing more to support the border initiative? You know, the Mexican government, the Mexican president actually come out and said that you don't need to forget about what's going on. You need to take care of what's going on here. You need to provide more resources for us to help. You need to open up your borders to let these migrants come in to work these jobs and these infrastructures. He's wanting everyone to come through. But if my issue is that if the immigration problem is so bad in Mexico, why don't they just go ahead and shut down their southern border? They have a much smaller border than we do. They can certainly secure that aspect of it there. They could shut down all of these migrants that are coming in from Central America and South America. They can stop right there in Mexico, but they don't want them to. They're just keeping on pushing them through to the United States. So there could be a partnership, but it's just not going to happen. Protect our borders closer to home. That is the point. But again, Joe Biden, he finally visited the southern border as we kicked off our show with in the El Paso sector. And he wanted to hear directly from the CBP, right? The Customs and Border Protection. And he wanted to know what's happening in that particular area of operations during the crisis. Now, it's the very first time And I think this is kind of where a lot of us are losing our mind. This is the very first time that Joe Biden has ever been to a southern border as a political leader. And for any fact-finding capacity during his, 50 years now of politics? But I want to give credit where credit's due. Joe Biden, he went and he talked with the Customs and Border Patrol agents, even if it was mostly management. I mean, if there's any indication that what he took away, something from the trip, it's going to be that it's going to change his mind on our southern border to solve the crisis that he has inflicted, I think it's safe to say that it's not going to happen anymore. Why don't they take care of it? Aaron Favatella says, because Mex I can. Amen. So look, man, why not seeing the crisis for himself, has been a way for people like me and a lot of people on the political right to criticize Joe Biden. And it was said from the word go that Biden and his company, they weren't going to do anything to reverse the course at all. Their policies have caused the biggest disaster on our southern border in recent history. I mean, as a matter of fact, it's probably going to invigorate these migrants to press harder for their open border proposals because they are that delusional. The political left, they're that delusional. Oh, no, it's not us. They're not coming over here because of us, but yet there's a camera right there in these migrants' faces. Yeah, Joe Biden told us to come. Joe Biden would welcome us. Make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, what's happening right now on our southern border, this Biden administration has made it worse. It's not humane. It's not safe. If you care about the humanitarian crisis anywhere, then that should be where you pick it up first. I mean, closest thing to home. I think at least Joe Biden, he got to see the wall working, right, when he was there. But again, he probably didn't realize the significance or the irony. The wall that he's saying that we need to tear down, there's pictures of him walking beside that same wall. Matter of fact, he's building a wall around his beach house in Delaware. He knows that walls work, just not our southern border because it's all political. I argue, and I have argued for time and time again, friends, that this border crisis, it is a symptom of the broken immigration system that Congress needs to overhaul. This hasn't been just a Joe Biden issue or a Donald Trump or a Barack Obama or George H.W. Bush, Bill Clinton, Ronald Reagan. This border crisis has been going on a long, long time. But what we're seeing in this administration has actually jumped it into overdrive. The White House, however, they did have the balls last week, and it took some real couth, right, to state that Republicans in Congress are the ones who are at fault for the current state of the border. Joe Biden even said that. He said, that's why I haven't visited the border, because Republicans aren't serious.
Why did you decide that now is finally the right time to visit the southern border? Republicans have been calling on you to do this since the beginning.
Because Republicans haven't been serious about this at all. Come on. They haven't been serious about this at all. I wanted to make sure that I knew what the outcome, at least the near outcome, was on Title 42 before I went down.
And if you listen to the rest of the video, he gives you all the reasons why he didn't, but right there at the start, they're not serious about the border. Why are they not serious, Joe? Because they don't want to support your policies? Is that the deal? The policies that you have in place to bring in and provide amnesty for an unbelievable amount of migrants? That's why they're not serious? No, you are not serious. As a matter of fact, I mean, again, when Biden doesn't understand, when he apparently thought that the Salvation Army member that he was talking to, maybe there's a country called Salvation and he was part of their military. They're helping the government. I'm not real sure. But Joe Biden doesn't understand what day it is. But the truth of the matter is, let's be honest, and I'm not a fan of 45. But Donald Trump proved that it's possible to have a very secure border while the rest of Washington dithers. Now, was it 100% secure? Absolutely not. And it never will be. But it was miles ahead of where it is now. Now, the good news is that we will hopefully have a better idea of the internal communications of the Biden admin's handling of our border crisis with the House of Representatives investigating. We hope that will be the case. But what will that do in the long term? Who knows? I mean, at least from my perspective, the more information that we have brought to light, the better. But shortly before his trip, Biden announced that he had a plan to address the border crisis. And again, I covered his plan last Friday. It was unbelievable. And anyone still hoping 2 years into Biden's term that the president's going to have an outline for an effective solution to current flood of illegal aliens and drugs that had to, these people are disappointed. I am disappointed. Probably you are too. But instead, Joe Biden announced that he had an expansion of what he called a successful Venezuelan parole process. Now, if you missed my show on Friday, go check it out. But I go into it a lot more. But what he's talking about, this successful Venezuela process, right, is going to include Nicaragua, Haiti, and Cuba. And they argue that that's what makes up a significant percentage of those coming across the Rio every day. But soon the president said, quote, up to 30,000 individuals a month from these four countries who have an eligible sponsor and a pass vetting and a background check can come to the United States for a period of 2 years and receive a work authorization. Now, the way they set up these programs is, again, it's through a telephone app where they can submit their asylum claim. The idea is it's the Remain in Mexico policy light. But why I call it the light is because the idea is they're going to submit their asylum claims, and the idea would be for them to stay there. But it's just more beneficial. They know that if they just go ahead and come across and be like, hey, I've already applied, then they have to be let go. You know, the immigration, and by them letting them go, well, they've already registered. Now what that does is that lowers the number of gotaways, that lowers the number of reported migrants coming in because, hey, at least they checked in through our app, so they are not illegal, although they're here illegally. It's a play in words. It's redefining language again. The Immigration and Nationality Act, it gives the Secretary of Security, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, it gives him discretion to parole aliens into the U.S. temporarily on a, quote, case-by-case basis for urgent humanitarian reasons or significant public benefit. But this Immigration Nationality Act, it explicitly adds that the secretary may not use his power for an alien who is a refugee unless there are compelling reasons in the public interest to do so. So what is the compelling reason in the public interest to let let as many come through as they are? And I think the reason why I ask this question is because we already have a U.S. Refugee Administration program. Why are we creating another one? It goes back to gun control and everything else I tell you. We don't need more rules and we don't need more ideas. We just need to enforce the ones we have. Parole was meant to be used very sparingly. You know, in most previous administrations, just before this one, in most of them, only a few hundred foreigners were approved each year after their applications were carefully reviewed. However, the Department of Homeland Security, again, Alejandro Mayorkas, who says that the border is secure, he's been paroling pretty much everyone who turns up at or even over the border. And once an alien is paroled, the Department of Homeland Security, they feed federal money into compliant charities and advocacy groups to buy phones and provide social services, transport these people all over the country, give them a home, give them food, give them everything they need. If you don't have a cell phone to apply for your asylum, we'll give you one. Joe Biden apparently believes that he can use parole at will to allow millions of foreigners into our United States. And Tammy says right here, the reason would be, hold your breath, votes. She's absolutely right. Votes to allow millions of foreigners into the U.S. without consulting Congress at all. That's fraudulent. You know, previous presidents, they've abused parole. Absolutely. We've seen it. We've seen it time and time again. So Max Waite, hey, he wrote in from another chat platform. He says, let's let 16-year-olds vote, and that'll solve all of our problems with people crossing the border illegally. Not. Absolutely, Max, and you're right. Because remember, if you'll recall, before the 2016 elections, they were actually pushing for 16-year-olds to vote because 5-year-olds can determine their sex. But I don't want to get into that conversation here. But at the end of the day, ladies and gentlemen, when Joe Biden came into office, he immediately undid every single program the previous administration successfully used to reduce illegal entries. And now they're trying to put them in. They're trying to reinstate them or reuse them. They're trying to reuse all of them right now, but they're trying to do it with as little media coverage as possible. But predictably, hundreds of thousands of people from countries near and far, they've headed for the border. They know that they're at least going to be let in regardless of the truth about their claims. Oh, Joe's apparently persuaded Mexico to take back up to 30,000 immigrants a month when we have 14,000 a day who don't qualify for this new program. But with over 200,000 foreigners attempting to illegal entry plus 50,000 gotaways evading inspection every month, who is going to take the rest? Mexico's going to take 30. So that leaves a remaining 250,000. Who's going to take those? And what happens to the parolees who ask for asylum but don't meet the standards? We already know. They're just stay in. Hey, here's a court date. Come see us, you know, when it happens in 13 years. But with a mere 72,000 aliens, that's all we had deported last year. Out of 1.7 million that came in, only 72,000 were deported. And ICE has been ordered to concentrate on those with a criminal conviction. You know, the chances of future failed asylum seekers being sent south, they argue, are very low. But that's the point, isn't it? Joe Biden has no intention of deporting more illegal immigrants, even if his own asylum officers or immigration courts order their departure. This administration, Joe Biden specifically, has been using the parole programs to create parallel immigration systems. And in practice, it allows millions of people to just cut ahead of family and employment applicants waiting on the illegal immigration line for a visa. You know, these queue jumpers, they get rewarded with work authorization and public benefits and really no serious chance of ever being made to leave. But better still, they don't even have to pay a penny to apply. Unlike petitioners for legal family visas whose fees are about to be hiked up to about 50%, these people don't have to pay anything. Now, Congress can end this charade with legislation limiting the president's parole power and maintaining that aliens at the border be kept abroad while any claims to protection of asylum can be heard. Now, I argue that this is a fair thing to do for communities and citizens suffering from the sea of illegal immigrants and illicit drugs unleashed by Biden's open border policies. Instead of dedicating our taxpayer funds to securing borders in other countries in his Delaware beach house, maybe this Congress can finally start putting America first. That's what we've been asking for a really long time. It's a crazy notion, I know. I know our tax dollars are going to address things that really matter, like, I don't know, your gas stove. And that's the breakdown. Guys, stick around. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with you on the other side for this news break and a regular commercial. Guys, stick around, and we will see you in about, we'll see you in about 2.5 minutes.
New travel chaos for flyers. I'm Matt Napolitano, Fox News. The FAA grounding thousands of flights for the first time since 9/11. That's after experiencing issues with the Notice to Air Missions system, which warns pilots about hazards and provides other important information. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
In this case, we had to make sure that there was complete confidence about the safety of flight operations, which is why there was the conservative but important step to have that pause.
Airlines are doing their best to make up for lost flights.
This isn't the airline's fault. It is the FAA to blame. It's their system that went down after all. But the airlines are trying to do their best to make sure customers get booked on new flights without having to pay more for it.
Fox's Grady Trimble. The White House's physician confirming the removal of cancerous lesions from First Lady Jill Biden's left eyelid and chest. The memo adding that all cancerous tissue was successfully removed and no additional procedures are anticipated. The First Lady is recovering from surgery and is feeling well. Fox learning that aides to President Biden have discovered a second batch of classified documents at a new location. The DOJ already reviewing classified documents located within an office at the Penn Biden Center.
He sees it seriously, very seriously when it comes to taking classified documents and information.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, the FBI and Justice Department are not commenting on any additional classified documents found. New York Republicans are calling on Congressman George Santos to resign, but House Speaker Kevin McCarthy not joining that cry, saying,
"Winning in November gave Congressman Santos the right to serve, but
if there is something that rises to the occasion that he did something wrong, then we'll deal with that at that time."
Congressman Santos has admitted to embellishing parts of his background, resume, and education.
Fox's Grinnell Scott, Santos himself has refused to step down. America's listening to Fox News. The ongoing.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is?
Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Ronnie, how happy are folks who save hundreds of dollars switching to Geico?
I'd say happier than a camel on Wednesday.
Hump day!
Get happy. Yeah. Get Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening to me on About Face Radio, AOW Radio, IPM Nation, Raw Talk Online, guys, thank you so much for carrying my show. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. Episode 315, Politics Are Exhausting, and that's the point, guys. 409-245-9753 is the number. We look forward to hearing your call or continue to write in the chat, guys. We will cover down and try to bring you into every part of our discussion that you so choose. 409-245-9753 is the number. Guys, have you been paying attention to the new fear tactic that's going on right now? Your gas stove is going to kill you. You know, as a political pundit, right, as a commentator of normal news, man, there's nothing really ever better than, I guess, firing up the computer first thing in the morning to start, you know, looking at news stories that you're going to cover in the day. And the very first thing that trips your trigger and running across about from Republic or from Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, genius, right, out of New York. The minute you lay eyes on it, the headline instantaneously pops into your head and the article begins to write itself. I mean, as the gleeful anticipation with you builds, well, I mean, such was the case, I guess, this morning when I ran across another brilliant declaration from the erstwhile bartender. Gas stoves now, shockingly, under the fire from our fossil fuel hating president, they cause brain damage. Did you know that? If you cook with a gas stove and you find yourself maybe having a little bit harder time to think, it's because your stove, you have brain damage. No, really. Per Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, that is. That's it. So what I want to do is I want to back up this gas-powered bus for just a brief moment. So as reported by Fox News this morning, Rich Trumka Jr., one of five commissioners of the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, he suggested that there was an outright ban on new gas stoves was on the table amid a growing concerns about indoor air pollutants, according to several reports. Now, you're worried about indoor air pollutants, yet you will still allow people to barbecue. I mean, have you ever seen the diet of someone who has these home tailgate parties, bratwurst and beer and hot dogs and everything else? Can you imagine you're concerned about gas stoves giving an indoor pollutant when you have 300-pound professional armchair quarterbacks farting up the room and laughing about it? Apparently that, the methane-producing ass gas of Republican voters, I think, rates right up there with cows and rates right up there with gas-burning stoves. So given that about 40% is the estimate of U.S. households, they have gas appliances in their homes, and that comes from the Association of Home Appliance Manufacturers. Mr. Trumka's statement rightly set off a firestorm on social media. We had a bunch of keyboard jockeys instantly running with and making their dire predictions. In other words, doing what they always do. Now, as a result, Trumka on Monday, he clarified his previous statement. That or he backed off and lied about the sole purpose of mollifying the low information crowd. But what he says here, he says, thank you for your interest. This is a tweet that he released. He says, thanks for your interest. To be clear, the CPSC isn't coming for anyone's gas stoves. Regulations apply for new products. For Americans who choose to switch from gas to electric, there is support available. He goes on to tell you that Congress has passed the Inflation Reduction Act, which includes an $840 rebate. So in other words, the CPSC would likely, they'd really like it if you just tossed your gas stove into the trash can for more bribery payment of $840, because that's what we're seeing. They figured it out, right? If we just promise to give you money, if we promise to give you resources, if we promise to give you entitlements, then hey, we, $840, mind you, but we are buying your votes. Tammy says in the chat, she says, isn't this the perfect time to scare people since there has been a recent blizzard and people died? Assholes, absolutely. Well, hey, Tammy, remember, that is kind of what we do. We talk about things that don't really matter, and the reason why is because we don't want you focusing on the real issues. Yeah, there's a people dying in the blizzard. Ah, it's cold. That's what happens. But if they start focusing on that the reason why they can't talk about people dying in a blizzard because they spent all their time talking about how global warming is happening. You can't have two arguments at the same time. Zach Clark, good to see you, my man. Zach says, so they're afraid of blue darts because of gas stoves. I'm thinking so. You know, but nonetheless, you know, anyway, now that that misunderstanding, you know, about $840 has been cleared up, we're good, right? I mean, no. But nonetheless, I reported last Wednesday, Joe Biden's government is now considering banning gas stoves. And it's presumably in response to Trump's first statement that, I just read to you, but not because the CPSC convinced the energy-hating president to do so, mind you, but because per the infamous observation and admonition of former Bill Clinton official and miserably failed mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, never let a good crisis go to waste, be that the crisis be real or it's concocted. So then comes our favorite left-wing genius, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, once again to get in way over her skis. This time in response to this tweet by this tweet right here by Ronnie Jackson, Republican out of Texas, which said that he'd never give up his gas stove. This is what he says. He says, quote, "I never give up my gas stove. If the maniacs in Washington come for my stove, then they can pry it from my cold, dead hands. Come and take it." That's a hell of a stance, don't you think? I mean, if you've been on social media in the last day or two, let me get back. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this is her response to Ronnie Jackson. She says, quote, "Did you know that ongoing exposure to NO2 from gas stoves is linked to reduced cognitive performance, brain damage?" So I think we have just found, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've just found why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is so stupid. Because the gas stove that she's using is reducing her cognitive abilities. I mean, if you've been on social media in the last day or two, you've probably noticed there's a true moral panic right now occurring over gas stoves. Not inflation, not fentanyl, not crime, not the open sieve of budget funds that are pouring over everyone but us. No, it's gas stoves. So according to Democrats far and wide, right, they're dangerous. Gas stoves are dangerous. They cause asthma, and they got to be banned by the federal government. We're going to protect you from you. The website Red State, they reported that Alexandria Cortez pushed that line on Tuesday, resulting in a lot of mockery given that she herself has a gas stove. But what's astonishing is that amidst all of her absolute certainty on the topic, she's never, not one time ever mentioned gas stoves prior. Ever. So in other words, in the span of just 24 hours, Ocasio-Cortez saw some questionable study she promoted on the internet. She gained legions of supporters for her position. And then she tried to pretend that everyone else had been ignoring her desperate calls. As Charles Cook noted, it's cultish behavior. I mean, is there anything the New York congressman could say that her army of simple-minded waterheads wouldn't agree with? And none of them have ever given a second thought as to whether what she was saying was true or it made any sense. It wasn't just Ocasio-Cortez, though. Other Democrats, they lined up to preach on the dangers of gas stoves, having all of a sudden they've become experts on a matter that they're all doing what they can do. They're getting in lockstep with each other for the only reason but to be walking in the same direction towards crazy, and that is an insult to crazy. So good luck finding much support for Scott Weiner and Max Kennedy's claims that gas stoves are too toxic and cause asthma. Yeah, a search on the internet's going to produce a random study or two. But there has been zero landmark research regarding gas stoves proving that they are a major health risk, much less there is anything that begins to justify what the federal government should be intervening in our process. What makes this even dumber is that all the Democrats, every single one of them who are pushing for a ban on gas stoves, they apparently have them. That's what's so funny about it. These people who are coming out and shaking their fists at these evil gas stoves, making everybody retarded, they all have gas stoves. So by connection, you could say that they're maybe a little bit slow in the head. It's interesting. I don't understand how they get there. If gas stoves are so dangerous, then why didn't Elizabeth Warren or Jill Biden or Kamala Harris or other people get rid of their gas stoves years ago when they were following Ocasio-Cortez Instagram streams, watching her cook dinner for the masses? I mean, could it be because this entire discussion is completely manufactured? I think the argument is what it is. Like, it's like the existential threats of white supremacy or racism or the ultra-MAGA Republicans who carry assault rifles and threaten democracy. It's all a farce. But regardless, it's worth asking, where is this all coming from, right? Why did Democrats all of a sudden start moving in lockstep to ban gas stoves, seemingly with no prior concern at all? And sure enough, with a little bit of digging, didn't take me a lot. I'm not an expert researcher, but with a little bit of digging, it's been revealed that this isn't just an idle science taking place. The company behind this study is called Carbon Free Buildings. And that is a company that's a partner of the World Economic Forum and has a true believer CEO who wants to rid the world of all carbon emissions, which, by the way, is impossible. It would lead to a mass extinction. Let's be honest. Now it's starting to make sense, right? This moral panic over gas stoves, it's really about children and asthma. I mean, of course not. I mean, rather, I think it's more nonsense it's more nonsense from the carbon-free buildings and like-minded corporate underlings regarding climate change. And it is obvious, in my view alone, that this citation of health risk is being bandied about. Yeah, it's currently just a convenient way to try to force more people off forms of energy that rely on fossil fuels, natural gas. That's why no one's talking about this previously. This climate cult is just using this study, which I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw, to accomplish its ultimate goal. But what's scary here is how quickly they're able to mobilize. Did you see? I mean, it just overnight, they come right out. A study gets put out, AOC and the others, they run with it, and suddenly the federal government's trying to tell you what stove you can cook on. I mean, there's a certain psychotic efficiency to the modern left, and it shouldn't be brushed aside. While various studies have shown that emissions from our gas stoves, they can lead to asthma in young children and some adult cancers, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez general claim it's over the top. Yet, once again, it shows how little the Instagram star truly knows, but she's either clueless about the relative facts or she just doesn't care. While our only objective, you know, is forward her fruitcake agenda. But incidentally, I think old Ronald Reagan probably said it best. He said that the trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so. And I'm sure that if you Google the old Gipper's quote, you'll probably see AOC's picture sitting right there. But ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the part in our show where we take a special moment to pause, reflect, and honor, remember the brave men and women who, across our law enforcement spectrum, who set out on the streets as we speak. These heroes, they're protecting our city streets while they're actively being protested against. They're actively being assaulted and hunted because they chose a ministry of their calling to serve something bigger than themselves. Last year in 2022, we lost 229 members of the law enforcement community. That's 229 families that are going through their very first year without their loved one at the dinner table or at a ball game because their hero, their family member, answered a call from their city, from their state, from their citizens. Someone please step into that role of a protector of peace, and these heroes did that, and we must never, ever forget their sacrifice away from their family, their friends, their personal lives, and the willingness to risk losing their lives for a complete stranger. Guys, here at the Philip D. Blackman Show, we're going to continue to honor our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community every show until people start highlighting these law enforcement lives, their sacrifice, like they do the misunderstood criminal who's always just in the wrong place at the wrong time. This week, friends, we're going to continue our coverage honoring our first police officer who has passed in the year 2023. Breckenridge Borough Police Department, Pennsylvania, Chief of Police Justin McIntyre in this opening or in this segment, End of Watch. Stick around.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Chief of Police Justin McIntyre, 46th of the Breckenridge Borough Police Department in Pennsylvania, who was shot and killed on January 2, 2023 during a foot pursuit of a wanted subject. Chief McIntyre served his department for 22 years. Former Breckenridge Police Chief Jamie Bach said in a statement, "He dedicated his life and service to who we are. There are truly few people in this entire world who were more genuine and kind than our chief. This is one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. He was always professional, dedicated and hardworking, sensitive to the residents of Breckenridge, a role model for our children, and a valuable asset to our community. Chief McIntyre is survived by his wife, 4 children, and his parents. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Chief McIntyre."
Breckenridge Borough Chief of Police Justin McIntyre. End of watch, January 2nd, 2023. Rest in peace, Chief.
All right, so the man who was wanted, or the man who killed Chief McIntyre. Once again, we're seeing another cop for 2 weeks in a row that was wanted for a probation violation involving weapons. And he fled from the Pennsylvania State Police during a traffic stop the previous night. The suspect then ran on foot from Harrison Township to the following morning during a traffic stop. And about 2 p.m., he was located near the border of Breckenridge Borough, and he led officers on a foot pursuit for about 2 hours. The suspect opened fire on officers about the 900 block of Breckenridge Avenue and again at the 800 block of 3rd, which Chief McIntyre was killed and another officer was wounded. After shooting both officers, the man carjacked a vehicle and fled into the city of Pittsburgh, and he fled into a wooded area following a vehicle pursuit and then opened fire on officers, where he was eventually shot and killed by return fire. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening more and more, and I don't know why we're not getting in front of it, but again, we have another police officer who's died because of some, I don't know, I guess we're caring more about what our, more about the safety of these violent criminals than we are the safety of our police officers. Guys, I want to take another quick commercial break, and we will come right back with you on the other side. Stick around.
A second batch. I'm Lisa LaSera, Fox News. More classified documents connected to President Biden have been located.
All that we know is that a second batch was found. We don't know when. We don't know where. We don't know by who. Yet.
Fox's Peter Doocy at the White House is coming days after papers were found in a locked closet in the president's former Washington office. Yesterday, President Biden said he was surprised to learn that they were there. Thousands of residual delays across the country, hours after flights across the country were not allowed to depart after a government system that offers safety and other information to pilots broke down.
The FAA issued a full ground stop for the first time since 9/11. Its Notice to Air Mission System, which alerts pilots to safety issues and hazards, was down. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said a backup system went into effect overnight, but when the main system came back online, some of the information was inaccurate, so they rebooted, but then had to validate the safety information they were receiving.
Our more immediate focus is technical, understanding exactly how this happened, why the redundancies and the backups that were built into the system were not able to prevent the level of disruption that we saw today.
He said when there's a problem with a government system, they're going to own it and fix it, and he called the ground stoppage a conservative safety measure. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
He was a guitarist who influenced generations. Jeff Beck, performing there with the Yardbirds, has died after his reps say he suddenly contracted bacterial meningitis. After the Yardbirds broke up, Beck had a solo career that incorporated hard rock, jazz, blues, and even opera. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, once with the Yardbirds in 1992 and as a solo artist in 2009. Jeff Beck was 78. On Wall Street, stocks closed higher. The Dow plus 268, the Nasdaq gained 189. America is listening to Fox News. The COVID-19 public health emergency.
Supporting the active duty, veteran, and first responder communities, this is About Face Radio.
This election, your choice couldn't be more important. Our candidate is in flattering lighting and full bright color. Their candidate is in grainy high contrast black and white. Spotted through a telephoto lens from behind a bush. Coming back from God only knows where. Our guy points at the horizon and holds a baby. Their guy doesn't have a baby. Their guy has a golf club. The voiceover for our guy is calm, measured, bright. Their guy gets the lower register. And sometimes we slow down. Our guy has clean headlines and the beautiful lens flare America needs. Here's a scary graph over a photo of their guy awkwardly laughing. Snap zoom. Do you want a snap zoom like that in office? Here's a photo of our guy saluting military veterans. Jump cuts, flashes, static, aggressive colors. You can't trust a guy with graphics like this. Our guy gets stock footage of sunrises and an American flag. Their guy's flag is upside down and on fire. Intercut with overdue bills, war, and a crying baby. Our guy gets doctors and astronauts and stimulus checks. Flatline, an eagle, hurricane, the Statue of Liberty, crime scene tape, Ronald Reagan, a girl running in a wheat field to escape a dangerous dangerous sexual predator. Wielding atomic bomb. This election, the choice is yours. Their guy or our guy. Inspiring slogan.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Gangster Rapper Posse Member.
Mr. Gangster Rapper Posse Member.
Behind every great man, there is a woman. And behind that woman, 14 guys with sideways baseball caps and really baggy pants.
Those pants are giant.
What do you do when you have no talent whatsoever? Attach yourself to someone who does. Gold tooth, check. Giant gold medallion, check. Royalties from record sales, no check.
Help a brother out.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Baron of the Brown Nose. Then crack open another 13 for the rest of the crew.
Mr. Gangster Rapper Posse Member.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
All right, guys, welcome back to episode number 315. Politics are exhausting, and that is the point. My goodness, man, y'all really, really grabbed a hold of that news break. So Aaron Favatella says in the chat, he says, where is it? He says, they didn't want to get rid of the cows because of the methane. Well, obviously, they don't want to get rid of the football players either because the methane, you know, it does what it does. But Tammy says, second batch, wow. Now, this one right here, this one, K-Height 420, you win the internet today, man. You says, he writes in the chat, says, didn't know classified material was in a closet? Yikes. But Trump is a Russian criminal. You know, here's the thing. Before I jump into one final thing, you're hearing a conversation right now, the difference between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. The difference that they're saying is, Joe Biden's team found the classified documents and then turned them in immediately, whereas the records, congressional records, they requested the documents from Donald Trump and he never did it. So the difference is that Joe Biden had less than Donald Trump and Joe Biden turned them over faster than Donald Trump. So yeah, it's like Hillary Clinton when she had an unclassified server for classified material that went straight to her phone. Remember? Yeah, she broke the law. She screwed up, and you know, but she didn't mean it. So we should just let it go. That's kind of the same thing. K-Hype 420, you've made my day. Thank you so much for that. Laura Harlow says, "Oh damn, I hadn't heard about Jeff Beck yet." Well, now you did. That's what we do here at the Philip Blackman Show. We bring you the latest and greatest news. Tammy says those pants are giant. Talking about Bud Light commercial. Man, absolutely. And then she goes on to write that the point is that Joe Biden took them in the first place. And every president does it. We know every president does it. But for some reason, it only matters when it's a Republican. Which brings me to one final thing. I got to be honest with you, friends. If you haven't picked up on me since November, where I've been coming out more and more, I got to be honest with you. I am getting damn tired of this Republican Party. I'm getting tired of politics in general, but I have to do them on these shows because I feel like if I don't bring these shows, if I don't try to show you what's not being reported, try to show you the lines in between of what's happening on the right, what's happening on the left, trying to show you what's happening in the middle, you're never going to know. But I'm getting tired of these politics. But more importantly, I want to talk about the Republican Party. I mean, if you've been watching my shows, if you've been hearing my work lately, or you happen to follow me on any social media platform, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, LinkedIn, or on any of my wonderful radio affiliates, then you might already know this. I'm tired of the Republican Party. I mean, I'd bet everything that almost all of you are feeling the same exact way, especially after this past midterm, right? I mean, at this point, I believe that any right-leaning individual would be fully justified in just giving up on their party. I mean, in fact, I think this is precisely the predicament which I find myself in at this very moment. I mean, I tried to stick it out as long as I could. I really, really, truly did. But McCarthy, McConnell, the GOP leadership, and its insistence on completely doubling down over and over on stupid, it's made staying with that party about as tricky as stealing a glass of Chardonnay from Nancy Pelosi, but I digress. I mean, the party's managed to turn out dismal performances in the past three 1, 2, 3 elections. They've reelected McCarthy to preside over these failures. And as much as I'd like to see, Harmeet Dillon oust Ronna McDaniel, it seems like Mitt Romney's niece has her leadership position pretty much locked down tight. But additionally, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, our Speaker of the House, he is our Speaker of the House despite his lack of popularity within his base. How many times did it take? 15 votes to put him in? That is a man who truly wants power. That is a man who does not deserve to have power. That is a man who is toxic. Someone who wants power that bad. Why? That's the question. Why? I mean, it seems that as time goes on, these Republicans, they seem to care less and less about what their base thinks. I mean, a case in point, look at the number of GOP lawmakers who voted for that $1.7 trillion omnibus spending bill. Yeah, I covered it again last Friday. That huge chunk of that bill is going to go toward funding other countries, including about $50 billion to support the Ukrainian war effort. But again, nothing for our southern border. And I think that right there is what we should be pissed off about as a country. We should be mad about that. But to put it simply, these Republicans are just as horrific as the Democrats, and it's time to stop pretending that they're not. Especially when it comes to protecting something called liberty. Right here, where I sit right now, they're even worse than Democrats because they don't pretend to favor a limited government or even liberty. This GOP, they deceptively claim to champion both while pursuing neither. And despite the wishes of their constituents, they don't want to change. Instead, they're going to seek to go back to business as usual, especially with former President Donald Trump out of office, but now he's wanting to come back in. He was actually nominated to be the Speaker of the House. Matt Gaetz, you asshole. You know, these people, none of these people, ladies and gentlemen, are going to protect your liberty. At best, they might slow down those who desire to threaten it, if we're lucky. But in short, I'm not seeing a single Republican member of a Republican Party that wishes to learn from any of their mistakes. Instead, what I see is I see a party that only wants to maintain the status quo. But it's not happening. I know Hanlon's Razor teaches us that to never attribute to malice what can be contributed to stupidity. However, it's too difficult for me to believe that the GOP would continue for decades to employ strategies proven to be ineffective when it comes to winning over hearts and minds. I mean, hell, at some point it has to be a deliberate behavior to some extent. I mean, this isn't to say that there weren't plenty of decent people in the GOP who genuinely want to bring about change. There are a whole lot of grassroots in the movement. But as long as the Republican Party's leadership remains at the helm, I really can't expect much in terms of advocating for the cause of liberty and yanking the government's boots off of our necks. So what does this mean for us? Yeah, I think it means that my focus from here forward is probably going to be on making a difference at the local and the state levels. Yeah, I truly believe that one city's mayor, a city council, a county sheriff, a judge, other local leaders, these are the people who have a bigger impact on our life. Take your stock out of those assholes in D.C. and pay attention to your local government. That's where we make the change. We can't make the change at the upper echelon. We can't do it from the top. We got to go from bottom up, not top down. I'm going to tell you right now, I will be willing to support any liberty-minded candidate and any liberty-minded initiative at this point, regardless of their party affiliation. Here right now, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Philip Blackman, and I am choosing liberty over party. And if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, and I probably am, most people are fed up with their parties. Not just the Republicans, most people are just tired. Why we're seeing more independent voters? They're tired of Democrats proposing these silly solutions that only expand the power of the government. They're sick of Republicans complaining about Democrat solutions without offering a single alternative to their problem. I mean, if there's ever a time when the uniparty trope was applicable, it has to be right now, the independent party. I mean, at this moment, I'm done with the Republican Party. So instead of spinning my wheels with an organization that's proven to be just as statist as those who claim to oppose, I'm going to chase liberty wherever I find it. I'm going to focus my efforts on supporting authentic men and women who truly wish to roll back the state, make a difference in their communities. You know, as these folks right here, they're more deserving of our time, of our energy, and of our resources than Mitch McConnell, McDaniel, or even McCarthy. For me and a whole lot of others, it's time to say goodbye to the Mick leadership and hello to liberty once again. In the latest political theatrical production, the actors and actresses of the House Republican Theater trope have donned on their costumes. If you watched it at all last week, they've applied their makeup, they've sauntered into the stage to pretend like they really give a shit about the welfare of their constituents. I think if I was the writer, I would call this play Let's Abolish the IRS. Right? We're seeing it, right? It's already been greeted with a fanfare and enthusiasm among conservative chattering class. I mean, just recently, the Republican Party's news source, Fox News, they actually wrote this. They said, quote, Georgia Representative Buddy Carter reintroduced the Fair Tax Act and aims to reel in the IRS and remove the national income tax as well as other taxes and replace them with a single consumption tax. Fox goes on to write that the vote of the bill was made as part of the deal between Kevin McCarthy and members of the House Freedom Caucus and was pushed forward in his quest for the gavel next week. He had to give a lot away to grab that so coveted gavel. You know, Rep. Carter, he issued a press release to Fox and he declared that co-sponsoring this Georgia-made legislation was my first act as member of Congress and is, fittingly, the first bill I'm introducing into the 118th. He says, quote, instead of adding 87,000 new agents to weaponize the IRS against small business owners in middle America, this bill will eliminate the need for the department entirely by simplifying the tax code with provisions that work for the American people and encourage growth and innovation. Now, look, such a measure, let's be honest, this is ambitious as hell. Like Alexandria Cortez's Green New Deal, it's ambitious. It got laughed at when she said it, and her reply was, it's ambitious. Their reply, we're laughing, it is ambitious. The notion that the IRS could be dismantled, somehow it's excited everybody on the right end of the political spectrum while terrifying those of the state-loving left. But not everyone is enthused by this development, believing this performance is just that. It's performance. It's political theater intended to titillate the masses. It's being panned as yet another disingenuous effort to pander to the Republican base and conservative movement without really actually having to do anything to earn their votes. So for those of you who've been involved in this conservative movement for more than a decade, you know, we've seen this performance before, haven't we? Republicans step in, they make all these soaring promises, they even introduce legislation addressing issues that their voters have raised time and time again, only for it to do absolutely nothing in the end. Remember when Republicans were screaming from the rooftops about how they would repeal and replace Obamacare? Remember that? If we just deigned to give them our votes, just give us the White House, give us both houses of Congress, and we're going to get it done. They promised you that. And conservative voters gave the party to the Republican president and both chambers of Congress in 2017, expecting these people to deliver on their promise, but they failed. In fact, they didn't even have much of a plan with what to replace Obamacare with when they took office. They just said, we're just going to get rid of it. The entire process of hammering out a piece of legislation, it was sloppy and it was embarrassing. And in the end, they didn't get it done, nor did they even bother to try again. After all was said and done, they treated their base once again as political chumps. Conservatives, there is absolutely no reason to believe this current lineup is ever going to abolish the IRS or create a fairer tax system. Just not going to happen. It's like the border. It's been going on for decades. The only reason they're pushing this bill is because they know it has no chance of passing. Because they can do, oh, well, hey, we were going to pass it, but the Democrat-controlled Senate wouldn't take it. They're going to use this bill as a tool to get you to give them your votes again in the upcoming election of 24. They're going to repeat their typical refrain, which goes something like, give us the White House and both chambers of Congress and we'll insert whatever empty promise to fill in the rest of that sentence. I mean, if the pass is any indication, when Republicans do control the executive and legislative branches, they're not going to do anything to ease the tax burden on their citizenry. Now, sure, they might cut some corporate taxes here and there, and they might make it appear as if they're doing something, but it makes no sense to expect more of these people in D.C. Even further, I'm sure that we can finally acknowledge that the GOP has no intention of rolling back the state at this point. If you think that, for people who say they do not want power, give them some and then try to take it back. Not going to happen. It's easier to give away your rights than it is to get them back. You know, the only positive takeaway that I can recognize at this moment is this is a moment that gives us a chance to discuss and debate the issue and hopefully change more minds on the matter. But there's no reason to expect the GOP and certainly not the Democrats to think that the size of the government, much less abolish the IRS, is even on the table. Perhaps it's time that we as an American citizenry take a new approach. All right, guys, that is it. That does it for me. Thank you all so much for tuning into this show. Episode 315, Politics Are Exhausting, and that's the point. Thank you all for tuning into the show to Seek Knowledge to provide that middle ground analysis, but remain consistent to the inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see or address, that politics are exhausting, and that is the point. They're trying to wear you down, and they're winning. So until next time, friends, thank you all for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like YOU, man, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos. So as always, friends, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. If you see a first responder, give them a high five handshake and tell them job well done. God bless each and every one of you. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. My name is Philip Blackman. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Until next time, friends, my name is Philip Blackman, and I will catch you, as long as the Lord's willing, the creeks don't rise, this Friday as we wrap up our week with a media mashup. Take care of yourselves, friends. Y'all have a great rest of your hump day, great rest of your work week. My name is Philip Blackman, and I am out of here.